There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
The following is a presentation of the Eastern Michigan Sports Network.
Spins by the feet, he's to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Oh, what a tackle!
Evans up the middle to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Eastern Michigan!
Straight from the 734, it's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by The Foaling Warehouse, your weekly chance to get in on the action. Now, let's send it to the guys on the inside of it all, Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Tom, I know you were outside anticipating one of the biggest moments in American history today, the eclipse.
The biggest moment in American history? I don't think if you're not in the path of total annihilation, or what do they call it? Path of totality.
Path of totality.
Yeah, which is south of us.
People were treating this as like, you name it plus that, and it was the albeit moment. I was outside. It got a little dark. I didn't look up, but I had my little glasses out. It was nice, but I was expecting like pitch black, middle of the night. Like, it was just like, okay, it was just cloudy.
And the hardest part of the eclipse for me was not wanting to stare directly at the sun with my bare eyes. So that was really a battle of self-control. But I lived in Denver in 2017, and I was kind of near the same route of eclipsedness. I don't know what the word is, but it was, again, it got kind of dark and they got light again. I was like, oh, neighbors had the glasses. I looked through it. This time we're like, because I also had the news on. So they were following the path of totality where it was pitch black. And I'm like, all right, it kind of got, then my wife's like, I think it's getting brighter. And I go, yeah, I guess it's over. So
yeah, my parents in Bluffton, they were in the path of totality. So they were out watching today and they were doing all that. So got a little darker there. So from one star to the other star watch of the weekend, did you watch us at the Final Four?
Of course. I saw you guys front and center there, and it was really good basketball. It was fun to watch. It was entertaining. Obviously, it was a moving screen for UConn, so there. I don't think there's any. I think some people got up in arms like, you can't have a game in like that. When you throw your arm up and snap their head back, yeah, that's a moving screen.
Yeah, no, I agree. A lot of people say you don't call that at the moment. You call it whenever it happens. That's just the way basketball is supposed to be.
Is that the best basketball atmosphere you've ever been in?
Yes, it was tremendous. I mean, I've been the one only other time that would be close to it was the year Kentucky was undefeated, and they had they were playing Notre Dame in the Sweet Six or Elite Eight in Cleveland. Worked that tournament game. That was about as wild as I've ever been, but it was loud. Everybody was wearing a Caitlin Clark. Talk about a person that capitalized on her ability to sell her name, image, and likeness at a perfect time, because from 2 to 102, they were all wearing Iowa gear.
It was fun to watch. I think it was a great Final Four on the women's side. The men will wrap it up tonight, though. I seem like it's going to be UConn, right?
I think if Zach Edey can stay out of foul trouble and the officials let him play, I think there's a chance. Not a big chance, but there's still a chance that,
you know, will come you out. And I, for fun, filled out brackets. And I beat you because we both have Purdue left.
Right.
And I just kind of want to know, what do I get out of that?
Well, I think you get out of it my always loving gratitude for being the best co-host on the show. And for that, you also get to call 9 innings of baseball with me tomorrow on the air.
That I look forward to as Eastern Michigan takes on Oakland. That'll be a good one. And Eastern Michigan's played really well at home. Before we get away from the Final Four, I know you don't toot your own horn, but I just think it's incredible that MAC football championships, the MAC basketball tournament, the Final Four, when that stuff comes in this region, they call on you guys to stat those games and work. And I think that's an unbelievable, a huge credit to you and everybody you work with, that they have that much faith and trust that you guys are going to do such a professional job that they never hesitate to call you and have you guys come down and do these monster events.
Well, it's an awesome experience. And again, to think there's so many people around the country that can do the same thing, and for them to still decide that we can do it. And I mean, it's been 17 MAC championships for football. I've done 16 basketball championships, 12 baseball tournaments, now a Final Four, a Elite Eight, and everything else. And they've kind of also already said, well, the first and second rounds of the men's tournament are in Cleveland next year. You're coming back, right? And how do you say no? So I guess I'll be back doing a postseason next year too. Just probably a little less eyeballs on it.
Well, I don't know. Everybody loves watching those first round games. So that'll be awesome. So that's congratulations to you and Alyssa and Alex and Scott. Oh, we saw you guys on TV. Did a phenomenal job. So I just think that's, I think it's cool to be watching the TV screen and see people you know and work with professionally that are trusted at the highest level of the NCAA.
And you know we're doing a good job when we only get one text message from the folks at ESPN telling us we've entered somebody incorrectly. Out of all the games, we got one time they texted us and I fat fingered and hit 20 instead of 23. So if that's,
well, yeah,
that's the worst thing I did all weekend, I did okay, right?
Yeah, you guys did great. It's again, fun to watch. Got the men playing tonight. Looks like UConn will probably take it. Calipari's going to Arkansas. It's madness out there. And Trisha Cullup going to Miami. I didn't see that one coming. But you know what? I'm happy to have her out of the conference and the fact that maybe Toledo will come down a notch or two.
Well, I jokingly said to somebody, if you're Toledo, don't you call up Brady Salee or Todd Starkey and say, hey, you want to make the trip over here? You already know what you got. It's better than maybe any place else in the country in terms of a fan base.
Well, the cupboard's a little bare. It's a little late to be going out there to try and grab a head coach, isn't it?
I would think so. But again, these things happen all the time. I mean, we saw Detroit make a hire last week. Virginia Tech poaches Megan Duffy away from Marquette. Tennessee takes Marshall's head coach. Anything's possible.
And Eastern Michigan hires a women's basketball coach.
Yes, and you get to sit down with her. You were the first exclusive interview with new head coach, Sahar Nusebe, and got a chance to spend some time with her. Everything that we've talked about, I mean, she has a plan. She knows what she wants. She comes in having been a head coach. And I think most importantly, her message is she's reaching out and wants them to be part of this growing and learn and make them not just basketball players, but better people as well. As you kind of heard her six real words that she wants to focus on. And I know that's how you open up your interview.
Yeah. And I don't think it's giving anything away, but she'll describe what feet in, arms out, eyes up means. Somebody texted me shortly after the press conference and said, I don't know if you can earn a W for a press conference, but she was pretty impressive with the way she's laid everything out. there is no wavering on how she wants to run this program. She knows exactly what she wants to do. She knows exactly the type of player she wants to bring in here. Plus, it's always fun to see a new coach come in. She's blown away by the facilities, the arena, the setup, the social media. She's like, I got to tell you, there's going to be some players that come through here. They're going to be blown away at what Eastern Michigan has to offer, which will make it a lot easier to recruit.
Yeah, she's got some spaces to recruit. I know she's trying to put her staff together. And you asked her about what it's going to take in terms of putting together a schedule. That's the one area her hands are kind of tied. The previous staff kind of set that up, but she can mold everything else other than really the schedule because you got so many still return games. And then you've got a couple Power Five games that were already on the books. So she's going to need some talent. And I know she's also trying to work to keep some kids here that may be out there right now that have put their name in the portal. So we'll see what happens there too.
Yeah, I mean, her first kind of full day here, introductory press conference, sat down with me, went through a couple things, then ran the team through like a look through, if you will. But she had them play to see, like, I got to know what I have here, what I need to get. So it's going to be interesting to see it, how the women's team does this upcoming season. And she won't go out and say, like, we're going to turn it around quick because she doesn't know that's her goal. But I did like that Scott Weatherby drove himself to Cleveland for the MAC tournament to punish himself because Eastern Michigan didn't have a team there on either side and tell himself, I don't ever want to feel like this again.
I think more punishment would have been had he taken you along for the ride to remind him of how painful it's been to have teams not there.
Well, I would have had the time of my life, Greg. There's some great restaurants there. He probably would have enjoyed the experience with me. He should have. Yeah, it hopefully it'll never happen again. I can't believe it's happened twice in 3 years. And hopefully that's the end of that streak. There will not be an issue with getting to Cleveland.
If you played the lottery, you probably would have had a better chance of striking some money than you getting back-to-back years of being struck out.
Yeah, for sure. And of course, the NFL draft is coming up. And we're going to talk to Brian Dooley today, who's hoping to hear his name called.
That's right. Brian, of course, everybody knows his story, of course, giving the scholarship away last year. But now he's got the chance to be Eastern's next draft pick. He did well in his combine activities at Pro Day, and somebody that they've already sent some tests out to that not everybody gets from certain teams. He's got some tryouts on the books. So you can't ask for anything more than Brian Dooley will give you. And I think if he just gets a chance, the guy can win and succeed for you.
And that's all he's hoping, that, and even if his name doesn't call, that a team will do like Hassan Beydoun did. They call you in, at least give you a shot, get you into rookie camp, and give a chance to prove yourself. It was funny because we were out at football practice, and they had it was one of their last outdoor practices before they're tearing up the field, which is going on as we speak. The gray turf is coming out, the track's getting ripped up, the new look is coming to Reinierson Stadium. But I'm like, is that Brian had cut his hair a little bit? He had on a baseball hat and sunglasses. And I kept saying to myself, is that Dooley standing over there? And then he turned around. He had his name on the back of his jacket. It said Dooley. I'm like, that's Dooley.
Yeah, not everybody can rock the name on the back of the jersey, no. the shirt. And he can do that. He had some drip going on.
He did. Oh, look at you with the new terminology. I like it. Yeah, he did have some drip going on. So we'll talk to him.
Daily, I get a little rubbed off on me.
Yeah, you were around kind of the elites. You saw a lot of celebrities in Cleveland.
Yeah, Darius Rucker was like five rows over. Jason Sudeikis was there. Robin Roberts. Jalen Hurts was there.
I looked up Jason Sudeikis because they kept showing him early, especially in the national championship game. I'm like, does he actually have any tie to Iowa? So I was just looking up, and he doesn't really. I think he was just a big fan of Caitlin Clark and kind of jumped on the Iowa bandwagon. But his uncle, and I didn't know this until yesterday, is George Wendt, Norm from Cheers.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
You know that. That's pretty good bloodlines.
Yeah. I mean, that's not going to hurt you getting into Hollywood, I wouldn't think.
Not at all. We have, before we get out of here, it is a reminder, this is our second to last podcast of the year, and we want people to really pay attention next week. We'll put a recap on the year. But it's also a big week coming up because it's time for BLT. You know what BLT stands for?
Well, bacon, lettuce, and tomato when I'm hungry.
That's right. It does, but it's also baseball, lacrosse, and tennis this weekend because everything at home. We got baseball, tennis, and lacrosse all going on, and Eastern Michigan could use your support. Plus, garage sale at Friday at 5 in the Gervin Center. There'll be deep discounted prices as crazy Wayne Smith wants to sell off everything in that supply room and get it out the door. Helmets like Tom loves, polos, t-shirts, anything you can think of, he'll probably sell it.
They should do like a car salesman type ad to put out there. Everything's got to go. We're selling it all.
So, yeah, good opportunity. So a busy weekend and tremendous weather expected. You couldn't ask for anything more.
It's going to be, this is the beauty of the baseball game tomorrow. It's going to be 73 and no eclipse.
I think that means we'll be back out in the home run hut then.
Yes. Oh, have you've been in a more protective cocoon? You haven't been calling these from the home run hut?
No, I've been wimping out. It's too cold, so I've been inside.
It is cold. Yeah.
But it's tomorrow we're rolling out the red carpet for Tom.
No, I'm your Bob Uecker. I'm just going to be sitting next to you while you spin tales of baseball, and I'll just give you a lot of, that's right, Greg, or what a hit.
I can't wait. We'll have the call beginning at 2:50 on the brand new EMU Athletics mobile app and emueagles.com. We'll get it to break and then to the interviews. It's the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast presented by the Foaling Warehouse.
Are you ready? Ready to find the right care that works for you? Care that connects you to what you need anytime, anywhere, and fits best with your lifestyle. Whether it's in person or in your pajamas, online or over the phone, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan connects you to the care you need when you need it most. With the largest network of doctors and hospitals, an easy-to-use mobile app, and a 24-hour nurse line. Because we're always ready to help. Learn more about Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan at bcbsm.com.
It's here.
Foaling Warehouse.
And sports will never be the same. Foaling combines the best of bowling and football. But you don't have to be good at either to have a great time at the Foaling Warehouse. Ipsy Ann Arbor's newest place to play is now open. 20 lanes, 2 bars, over 100 beers. The Foaling Warehouse at the corner of Washtenaw and Golfside in Ypsilanti, where everyone comes to play.
There's only one place in the state of Michigan that takes you straight inside the locker room. And that's the Eastern Insider Podcast, your chance to get in on the action, bringing you more coverage than any other program in the Mitten.
Zahar, first of all, welcome to Eastern Michigan. You talked in your introductory press conference that this is your dream job. Why is it your dream job?
I've had the privilege of working in the MAC at Miami of Ohio and Bowling Green, and I just know the talent and the level of this conference. You have to be a really good coach to be successful in this conference, and I couldn't be more ready for that challenge. I'm excited to bring in a staff that can elevate this program. I'm excited to recruit talent that can elevate this program so that we're working our way up in the MAC and hopefully cutting down nets.
Well, and as a Eastern Michigan fan myself, I want to know the same thing the fans want to know. When will that be? How long a process do you think it is to build, and how long before this team's going to Cleveland and doing things like cutting down nets?
Yeah, I think doing things the right way takes some time, you know, and I think finding the right people takes time. I am going to share that I found some really, really good people who I think are ready to join EMU women's basketball. I had the privilege of meeting our current roster yesterday and talking about the importance of how we're going to do our work, and I saw a lot of locked-in eyes. So I'm really excited about what we're inheriting and who we're identified as bringing in to be the right fit for us. I think it starts with people. I'm not going to give you a timeline in terms of how long it'll take till we're in Cleveland cutting down nets, but I do expect us to make significant progress this year. And then every year after that, we're just building it up.
What's life for you like right now? Not only do you have to recruit, you got to put a team together, you got to put a staff together, you're adjusting to living in a new city. What has this time been like for you over the past few days?
It's been busy, but it's been wonderful. I've been on the phone nonstop. I drove out yesterday morning, cut through Canada, did nothing but make calls for 4.5 hours. Yesterday, I was able to meet the team. I was able to meet a lot of friendly faces here at EMU. Within my first hour in my office, I think I had 5 to 6 people come introduce themselves and just offer their help any way they could with this transition. It's a lot right now, not having a staff set yet, but working on it, and I'm really excited about who we're going to bring in.
You said there's going to be 6 key words for this program: feet in, arms out, eyes up. If you could, give us a little overview of what that means.
Absolutely. Feet in is about being 2 feet in, fully committed. It's also about being present, being where our feet are, because the present moment is the only thing we actually really have control over. Arms out is about servant leadership, which is where my heart lies in servant leadership, and teaching our young women how important servant leadership is. It's also about being willing to be vulnerable, developing a relationship with their sisters, their teammates, where when they're struggling, they know they're not alone and that they can reach out. And when they reach out, there will be a hand on the other end to grab them and help them up, whether that be their teammates or even us coaches or anyone here at Eastern. Eyes up is about respect. When you talk, I'm going to look you in the eye and give you the respect you deserve. I'm going to make you feel valued, seen, and heard, because we believe everybody deserves that. It's respect for others and it's respect for ourselves. The last piece to eyes up is about the presence we carry ourselves with. And this is where the true passion of our staff will lie. As a female leader myself, I have a strong passion for developing strong, confident young women, where they enter the court confidently, they walk around campus confidently with the presence, and they enter the real world when all is said and done, and they leave here with a degree. They're going into that real world knowing that they can do anything.
Sahar, who have been some of your mentors as you've developed as a coach?
Absolutely. The first person that comes to mind is one of my former head coaches, Heather Voolin, who really, as an assistant, gave me so much ownership in building a program with her. She had an opportunity at Manhattan. I remember connecting with her at a Final Four in a mall Panera. And she was throwing her best recruiting spiel at me and saying, look, I know you're young, but I wanna bring you on as my top assistant. I believe in you. I wanna empower you. I wanna teach you how to become a better coach so that one day you can take the reins over your own program. And she lived out her word. That's exactly what she did from day one. She gave me a lot of autonomy. She trusted me. I was a recruiting coordinator first year. She elevated me to defensive coordinator the second year. And I finished my last year at Manhattan as the associate head coach. And she's a champion for myself. She's a champion for many other women in this profession. And I'm striving to be someone like her. So she is a tremendous mentor for me. Another mentor for me would be my high school coach. So Coach Wackerly from North Canton Hoover, I'm an Ohio girl.
Yeah.
He really lit a fire in me. You know, originally I went to school to study politics, and that's exactly what I did at American University. But in my heart of hearts, I knew that I wanted to be a coach. And the reason I wanted to be a coach was to impact as many young lives as I could, because that's what Coach Wackerly had done for me. And I'm forever grateful for him.
What do you think your biggest takeaway has been being the head coach at Canisius that's going to help you as you become the head coach at Eastern Michigan?
The importance in the who and the how. And I said that in the press conference. I think finding the right people to build with, whether that be your players, your managers, your grad assistant, your coaching staff, that matters. Everybody has to be in alignment if you want to move in a direction together. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're misaligned, if you don't have a values alignment, if you don't believe in the how, your arrows are pointing all over the place and you're essentially not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. I need us, everybody in this program, to have our arrows aligned, to have our values aligned, to believe in the how, so that we can go somewhere sooner together.
Let's talk about playing style. Offensively, what do you want this Eastern Michigan squad to look like?
Fast, fluid, and free. Fast, I want to go up tempo. I want to kick that ball up. I want to advance the ball as quickly as possible. If we can score in the first 15 seconds, whether that be in our primary break or our secondary break, it's good stuff. If we have a player who's set and she lets that ball fly, she misses it, she better not be looking back at us, because I'm not pulling her out. My job is to infuse confidence in our players. At Canisius, we were best when we had momentum. That's what I want to build here. I want to build a team who's best with momentum, who has confidence in what they do. They do it fast. They do it aggressively. They do it relentlessly for 40 minutes. So we're going to play fast. We're also going to play fluid, which means there's going to be a lot of interchangeability in the positions. We're going to do a lot of four out, one in. But that ball is going to be moving, and we are going to be moving. I think it's really tough to defend things that are in motion.
Right.
So we're going to get that ball reversed a couple times, get defense on their heels, and then we'll attack. The last piece is free. I want to give our players the green light. I want them to feel like they have the green light from our staff, which means they feel confident. They feel free to play their game. Our job is to put them in different positions on the floor to be successful. Their job is to go out and do their thing. So I want us to be a staff that teaches them the game, provides a blueprint, infuses confidence, and then when that ball goes up and those lights go on, it's all them.
So hard, and educate me a little bit, because sometimes when I hear a coach say, we want to play fast, that's great, especially if you're making buckets. If you're missing shots, it can go south on you in a hurry here, and the game can erode a little bit. So how do you avoid that?
Absolutely. I think fast, but still having an understanding of the flow. So there's the other F word would be the flow. I think when you're not necessarily knocking down shots quickly, now we can be more patient, flow into our secondary, and then go into our continuity offense. But I think fast, everybody thinks full court, and I did start by saying we're going to kick that ball up.
Right.
Fast is also in the half court. So the pace at which we play at in the half court is also a thing, and that will be relentless and fast.
On the defensive side of the floor, what do you want to see out of EMU?
I want to see a solid defensive team that can pressure the ball, can protect the paint, and can finish possessions. We're going to be a team that takes pride when the shot goes up, we're finding bodies, and we're one and done-ing our opponent. I think it's a coach's worst nightmare when we work for 28 seconds or however long,
right,
and then you give up an old board to put back. So we're going to be a team that values that last 2 seconds, that values the groundwork that we need to do when that ball's in flight, and lock up, get a stop so that we can go do what we want to do on the offensive end.
How would you like the non-conference schedule to look for you? There's different ways to prep for the MAC. Some teams like to load up with a lot of big opponents there and then hope. Others like to kind of take it easy, build confidence. In a perfect world, how would you build that non-conference schedule?
To be perfectly honest with you, I know next year's already set.
Right, right.
And I haven't even looked at the non-conference yet. I have an opportunity.
But moving forward, how would you like this team to prep for MAC play? Because you know better than anybody, it's a grind. Absolutely. This is a really tough. And I think a lot of players discover, too, when you bring them into the MAC, I didn't realize. Like, you kind of get punched in the mouth every night.
Absolutely. So what I would want to do is I would want to do a progressive buildup in terms of the level of competition we're playing. So I would want us to gain early confidence, because early on in the season, the first couple games, you're still getting your feet wet.
Right.
You're still feeling things out, working out the kinks of the system, learning some things. Hopefully about maybe 2-3 weeks in, we can amp up who our competition is and targeting higher mid-major conference opponents. You know, so Horizon League, I really respect targeting some of the best teams in the Horizon League, maybe a couple A-10 opponents, mid to high A-10 opponents will get us ready for MAC play, because I think those opponents are pretty comparable to what we're going to see in the MAC.
Yeah, we'll see UMass coming into the conference too. They play really good basketball out there. So the conference is not getting weaker
right
by any means there, which just makes your job all that much harder, right?
Right, right. But, you know, challenges are fun. I think if you're in sport, you're in sport because you enjoy a challenge, you know, and that's what we are going to enjoy as a coaching staff. We know the challenge ahead of us. We're excited to meet it. We're excited to beat it.
When I talked to Scott Weatherby, he said once you did the interview, they were just blown away by you. And sometimes it's you're close with a couple candidates, but like Sahar was absolutely unbelievable in the interview there. And I think most of them said as soon as you said feet in, they pretty much were like, yeah, this is the person for us. I know people are thrilled to have you here in Eastern Michigan. When you got the job, who's the first person you called?
My dad. My dad is a tremendous resource for me. He's a voice of reason. He's someone when things go well, he can keep me from getting too high. When things go low, he can keep me from getting too low myself. So my dad was extremely proud of me and happy for me. Next call was my mom. They weren't together, and she was thrilled. So my parents.
there's some really nice restaurants in Cleveland.
Okay, yeah.
I didn't get to eat at any of them this year. I would really like to go to Cleveland soon and eat at some nice restaurants. Can you help me out with that?
I can help you out. We'll get to Cleveland. We'll eat well and we'll play well.
Well, you're in a tremendous spot. We're happy to have you here. Everybody has been blown away by what you've done so far, and we can only hope that that continues on into the basketball season. But welcome to Ypsilanti. It's a pleasure to have you here, and best of luck with this upcoming season. We're going to talk a lot more.
Sounds great. I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Sahar.
This episode of the Eastern Insider Podcast is brought to you by National Trails Bus. Safety, comfort, reliability. Come ride with us, as well as Trinity Health. Trinity Health is the preferred healthcare provider of EMU athletics. Get top-tiered orthopedic and spine care to get you back in the game, as well as Standard Printing and Design, the standard of excellence in design and print for small business.
You're listening to the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, presented by the Foaling Warehouse, the only show that brings you all things Eastern all the time. Now let's get back to the action with Greg Steiner and Tom Helmer.
Joining me now, Brian Dooley, here on the Eastern Insider Podcast. You're probably thinking, what is Brian Dooley doing out at football practice? His college career is over, but we watched a little scrimmage today. You're getting ready for to turn pro, is, I guess, would be the right way to put it.
Yeah, that's the dream. That's what's supposed to happen. So we'll see come the end of April.
First, let's talk about what's happening here at Eastern Michigan. You played in the stadium with the track around it. As we talk today, they're getting ready to tear out the track. It's going to be a whole new look. What do you think of all the changes going on here at EMU?
I mean, change is awesome. I mean, shout out to Max for everything he did, for the program, helping the guys out. You know, I can't wait to come back in a few years and, you know, see all the change.
What has the change been like for you? Because this has been a different offseason. Now you're getting ready to turn pro. The prepping, everything. What has that experience been like for you?
I mean, the experience has been awesome. I mean, you're still doing football stuff every single day, and then, I mean, then you get to go home and chill. I mean, it's everything minus the film. It sucks. I don't get to see my guys, every day. I mean, that's what it was every day for the past couple of years, and so I mean, that does kind of hurt. But I mean, hopefully bigger and better things are coming up here soon, so that's what I'm excited for.
What's been the most eye-opening thing about this process as you get ready to go to the pros?
The most eye-opening thing is probably, it's some of the guys that you see, that are in the draft now. It's like, man, like those guys are good, and, hopefully I'll be going up against those guys here soon. And, all those guys are just a different breed. I mean, seeing some of the other old linemen is like, I mean, it's eye-opening because those guys are playing at a higher competition, and, hopefully later on down the road, I'll be playing at that competition that they were at, and then, we're all going to be playing on the same level.
Yeah, Brian, you talk about the competition and the dream is to go pro. What do you feel your chances are?
I would say my chances are pretty high right now. I never want to count myself out, but, I mean, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. So, I mean, I'm going to work my butt off up until the day, and then, I'm not going to stop after. So, we'll see. I'm excited, though.
There's been a lot of guys that have been through this program, that have gone to the NFL, that have gone through this process. Have there been some guys that you've kind of leaned on a little bit for advice on how to go through this?
Oh, yeah. I've talked with a lot of guys, Chad and City, that, when they played here, they're on the Patriots now, and I've talked with them a lot. I've been working out with a former Wolverine, Chris Wormley. He's, he's bounced back and forth from a few teams, and I've worked out with him this whole time. And, that guy is, giving me so much insight of what, the NFL is all about, and, just the knowledge that, he's given me. I mean, it's awesome.
Talking to City, I get. Talking to a kicker and Chad Ryland, how much help can Chad give you?
Oh, I know. It's awesome. He's, he hasn't stopped talking to me ever since, he left. And, the knowledge that he gives me is, you just don't stop working, and that my work ethic is different from other people's. So it's awesome.
It's funny, as you and I watch that scrimmage, they had so many recruits out there. Do you remember what it was like when you were trying to decide where I'm going to go to school?
Yeah, I mean, I really didn't have that much. Eastern was. I mean, Eastern was my only school, to be honest, and. With some of these guys, they probably got way more offers than what I had in high school. So, I mean, what they see out here at practice is, what they're going to see if they come here. I mean, it's it's a brotherhood here, and you know, it's fun. I mean, it really is. There's really no other words to describe it, but it's fun. So, I mean, seeing the recruits out here, man, it's good. It really is.
You're a bit of a unicorn because you played your entire college career at one school. It doesn't seem like that's really a thing anymore.
Yeah, no, usually some guys, you know, after the first year, if they're not playing, they want to transfer, or, you know, later on in their second or third year, if they think they can go higher or maybe even lower, you know, they want to transfer. But yeah, you know, like you said, the, you know, being that unicorn on a team, you know, playing all my years here, I mean, it was special. I mean, I wouldn't have traded it for the world. I mean, Eastern's always going to hold special to my heart. And, I mean, the memories I made here were, I mean, unbelievable.
When you think back to your playing career here, and really your first season, you caught a pass against Purdue. You caught a pass against Purdue when you guys beat the Boilermakers. But is there a particular memory that stands out for you in your career?
Oh, man. I mean, the beating Purdue is, I mean, that's like the one. I mean, not everyone can say they caught a pass when they're offensive linemen. I mean, the winning our first bowl game, at, you know, in Idaho, I mean, that was unbelievable. So, I mean, it's either the catch at Purdue or, you know, winning in Idaho. I mean, those are some of my best moments.
Well, you had a great career, and best luck. We'll all be tracking you, and hopefully we hear your name later on in April.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right, Brian Dooley.
There's only one podcast in Washtenaw County that takes you inside the athletic department every single week. The Eastern Insider Podcast, your home for all things Eastern all the time. This has been another edition of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Eastern Insider Podcast, powered by Learfield. Tune in every Monday for new episodes all year long. And don't forget to visit emueagles.com/podcasts, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, or your home smart device for all of our episodes on demand.